The hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing," contains one of my favorite verses in all of hymnody. The third and final verse says this: "O to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let that grace now like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee." And the next couple lines are my favorite lines. In fact, I even have a t-shirt that says one of these lines. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love." The verse ends, "Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." This verse recognizes the power of grace, how we are in debt to it, and also how it has the ultimate say on our lives. As sinners, the hymn writer knows that we need to have our hearts bound to that grace as if it is chained by the ankle. Because without being chained to that grace, we are liable to suffer in our wandering. We will suffer because we will turn away from God. These are true words that get played out in Scripture over and over again. The reading from Deuteronomy is a word of hope to a people who have been wandering. They've been wandering for 40 years, and they haven't always been faithful to God that is leading them on this journey. They've complained about the food, they've complained about the distance, and they've longed for the flesh pots of Egypt. They have built a golden calf to worship. They have suffered for turning away from God. This reading begins with a very important word, and that word is when. With all that the people have done in their wandering, God could have said, "If you come into the land." But instead, God tells them that the wandering will end and the time will come when they will come into the land that God is giving them. So God gives them instructions for what they should do when they come into this land. Essentially, this is what they should do when the promise has been fulfilled. They are to take some of the first fruit of all the fruit of the ground to the priest who is in charge and give it as an offering. They are to recount this journey that they have been on from generations before them to this present moment. They are to recognize that this is now the land promised to them, the land flowing with milk and honey. After this offering has been made, they are told to do the following: "Then you, together with all the Levites and all the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and your house." And of course, right, they all live happily ever after. Until they didn't, because they turned away from God again, who had brought them this far. As we jump to today's gospel essentially picks up right after Jesus had been baptized. Remember, this was when the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove, and the voice from heaven declared, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." So our gospel for the day begins: Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. We hear that Jesus fasted for those 40 days, and as expected, when the time was over, we are told that he was famished. Remember, 40 is always an important number. The season of Lent has 40 days starting at Ash Wednesday and not counting Sundays until Easter. So that 40 number will get repeated in many different places. It's at this seemingly weak moment that the devil tries again. There is no when here, no sense of promise, but instead the devil leads with the word if. The devil's trying to call Jesus' identity into question. The first temptation is to fill his stomach with bread. Jesus responds by quoting scripture. One does not live by bread alone. The second temptation is for glory and authority with the price of worshiping the devil. Jesus again responds with scripture. Worship the Lord your God and serve only him. The devil's smart. When the third temptation is leveled, he quotes scripture himself. He's still poking at Jesus with his words. He says, if you are the Son of God, Jesus knows who he is. He doesn't need to prove it with a test. And so again, he quotes scripture. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Now, as a preacher, I can be tempted at this point to wrap the sermon up in a nice package with a fancy bow and simply tell you, be more like Jesus. But what I know, and what I hope you know as well, is that this is impossible. Why are we reminded of the people wandering in the wilderness for 40 years? Why did I start the sermon with a verse from a hymn? Because as God's people, we are prone to wander. It was true of the Hebrew people, it was true of Jesus' disciples, and it is true of each one of us. When we follow God, there is no promise that life will be easy or free from suffering. There is no promise that you will be free from sin and will always follow faithfully. Instead, what we hear are the promises of God. We hear that God will still bring people into the promised land even when they fail to follow all the instructions along the way. God will still bring the people to the promised land even when they openly complain about God's treatment along the way. As children of God, we are prone to wander, and we are likely to suffer in that wandering. We will turn away from the promises of God and turn towards the promises of this life. We will chase after more, even if it means trampling on those with less. We will place our identity in things of this world instead of securely in our baptismal promise that we are children of God. We will beat a rock against the chain that holds us to the grace just so that we can relieve ourselves of the guilt that we might feel. These scriptures are meant to remind us of the purpose of Lent. This is a time for us to set aside the things that draw us away from God so that we can be drawn closer to God. We don't have to wander like the ancient ones for 40 years. We don't have to fast like Jesus did for 40 days. Instead, we can use these 40 days as a time to draw close to God who has claimed each of us. We can draw close to God who will keep hunting us down even when we break free. We can draw close to God who has sent God's own Son to us. We are prone to wander. We will turn away from the God we love. But when we come to the foot of the cross and we confess the ways that we have wandered, and Christ calls us again to follow him, stop wandering off and be God's people in this world. In the midst of this, we too will face our own trials and temptations. We too will try to take matters into our own hands and bring about our own salvation. But this too is lie. Is a lie that we like to tell ourselves. In the hymn of the day that we're going to sing in just a minute, the third verse says this, and I think this is another great verse to listen to. When we are tempted to barter our souls, trading the truth for the power to control, teach us to worship and praise only you, seeking your will in the work that we do. siblings in Christ, we are debtors to the grace of God. This grace cannot be earned by any one of us, but it is given to us as a gift from God. This grace brings light into our darkness. This grace brings hope when we are feeling hopeless. This grace brings life when all we can see is death. This grace, God's grace, comes to us through the cross of Christ Jesus. And I pray that our hearts stay fettered to that grace. Amen.